Live from beautiful Tampa, Florida. I don't have to be sold on Tampa. My family lives here in Davis Island, and I already fell in love with it a long time ago. Sitting with us on Radio Row is the mayor, Mayor Bob Buckhorn, who, of course, made national headlines because of Isaac. And, you know, Mr. Mayor, first of all, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I have to say, it was funny because the headline I read, I was back in our studio in Dallas, and I was reading the headline, "The mayor is canceling the RNC." I was like, oh, that's got to be exaggerated.
It was. Trust me, it was. That's what happens when you put political press in the same conversation when you're talking about hurricanes. You know, things get a little squirrely.
So did your phone blow up? Were a lot of people calling the office like, what's going on?
No. Because it was really only a story for the political, you know,
side of it, yeah.
Yeah, and most people recognize, particularly if you live in Florida, that hurricanes are nothing to be messed around with.
Yeah.
I mean, we take hurricanes very, very seriously here. And the question that was posed to me was a hypothetical. If it was a Category 3, 4, or 5 storm heading for Tampa, potential direct hit, you know, would you cancel this convention? Well, my job is not the convention. My job is evacuation. And I darn sure would have called an evacuation.
Yeah.
Now, that was never a reality. I mean, that was never even a prospect. But that's how that whole thing got all ginned up. So, you know, I didn't pay any attention to it.
I love it, though. It was pretty funny. So you do dodge the bullet with Isaac. Sadly, we're seeing what's happening in these parishes in Louisiana. But there had to be some nervous moments for you as you were watching the weather. You probably became a Weather Channel fan overnight.
I did. I think I became America's weatherman overnight. I'm used to talking about millage rates, not millage bars. Yeah, there were. I mean, just imagine hosting the second most viewed television event in the entire world this year in the RNC. And at the same time having to juggle hurricane preparations and the thought of having to evacuate 50,000 delegates, visitors, guests, anarchists, occupiers, on top of our normal evacuation. I mean, I may have a lot more gray hair after this, but our team, you know, did it flawlessly, and we did both. Fortunately, the storm moved to the west. But we would have been prepared to move into evacuation mode had we needed to do it.
What does bringing the convention to Tampa mean for you? You know, there's the numbers you project as a numbers person. There's the numbers you project, and then there's the actual numbers. But there's no doubt there has to be a gain.
Oh, okay. It's the biggest thing we've ever done. It's Tampa's time on the world stage. It's our coming out party. When most mid-sized markets don't get an opportunity to host international events like this. We think in the short term, somewhere between $150 million to $175 million just as a result of this week alone and spending this week. Long-term residual impacts of the exposure that we're going to get and the millions of mentions of Tampa, immeasurable, absolutely immeasurable.
And have you heard good things from the people who are, I mean, they're not going to tell the mayor, hey, you're...
Well, trust me, they will. They will. You know, it's been really rewarding to me because almost to a person, you know, and there are folks who get upset about the heat or get upset about the security or how far they have to walk or the bus didn't pick them up. But almost to a person, what I have heard, and I've eavesdropped a lot on people's conversations just to gauge, is how friendly, how responsive, how warm and accommodating the people have been to everyone who has come here. From the moment you got off the airplane to the moment you will leave, you know, tonight or tomorrow. We really have set out to have a good first impression, and I think we've succeeded.
How long in the planning for you was this whole thing?
When
you
were
getting? Oh, and so was it just? It had to be lots of meetings, looking.
It was all consuming, particularly the last 6 months, and specifically on the law enforcement side.
Yeah, and the law enforcement, that's noticeable. You see, I feel like I'm in an episode of Miami Vice, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, the result of that, Kate, is, you know, you read of stories that, you know, Chicago or Seattle and Minneapolis where hundreds, if not thousands, of people were arrested. As of 3 o'clock this afternoon, we have had 3 convention-related arrests.
And that's it?
That's it.
Wow.
That's
it. So you got to attribute it to the visibility.
Visibility, and we took a tact. I mean, I deployed overwhelming force because I think that was important. That set a tone for what was appropriate and how we were going to deal with it. But we also said it, made it our mission to be respectful of people's need to exercise their First Amendment rights. And so we've accommodated them in ways that will never be reported on. I mean, we had the deputy chief of police bringing extra food down to the occupiers today. And those, you know, tampering down the emotions and diffusing those confrontations by every officer on the street. I mean, our officers don't react. They're not going to take the bait. You're not going to do anything to them to hurt them.
Right.
And I'm not going to stand for that. But other than that, you know, if these anarchists want to get up in their face and, you know, yak, 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 as long as they're not a threat and as long as they don't break the law, that's fine. We'll diffuse it. And I think it's been a good relationship.
The so, you know, the benefit to you, as you say, a medium-sized market, is that people... I know about Tampa because of my family and the great experiences I've had. I mean, the beaches are incredible here. I mean, some of the best that I've ever been on. And just the way to get around and the restaurants and other things that I could point to. And you know that, obviously, as the mayor. So do you think people, that's the added benefit, as you're saying, you know what the hard number is, but what people take back with them is, oh, there's, you know, we can go to Busch Gardens, we can do this. You think?
I think the residuals of this will long surpass this week. And I think 10 years from now, they will look back on our hosting this event and seemingly hosting it as well as we did and say this was a pivotal moment in Tampa's history. This is where Tampa turned the corner. This is where Tampa took its turn on the international stage. This is where when people think of Florida around the world, they don't just think of Miami and Orlando. They think of Tampa in the same sense. Yeah. That's what this will do for us.
Do you think also, too, you've got a great port, that maybe there may be more...
Biggest
that
port in the country, in the state of Florida.
You think maybe more business will come in and out of the port?
Well, just to give you an example, I met 2 days ago with the ambassador to the United States from Mexico. And that's exactly what we talked about, is establishing better trade relations with Mexico. We are the closest port to Mexico. We are the gateway to the Americas from Mexico all the way down to Central America. There are honorary consul generals here. There are ambassadors here. I mean, there are dignitaries from all over the world here. Those residuals are really what make these events important for a city like us.
Yeah. Well, if I met you in an elevator and someone said, hey, this is the mayor, like maybe if I was out at a restaurant and I happened to bump into you, what would you tell me the greatest thing is about Tampa?
Our diversity and our people. I mean, we look like America. We're multilingual. We represent every shade and ethnicity and gender and orientation. I mean, we are the perfect petri dish of America. We're a low-cost of doing business state. Regulations are being removed to make us more competitive. We are truly the gateway to the Americas. I mean, it's the perfect, easiest sales pitch that I could ever make.
The you're a Democrat, and I told someone I ran into you last night, I said, well, he's probably the only Democrat you ran into in 30 miles.
That may be true, Kate.
Are the Republicans treating you nice?
Oh, we've had a blast here. I mean, I couldn't be prouder to host the RNC. I set it up on the stage when I got to welcome the audience. You know, for me, this has never, ever been a partisan event. I was not going to let it become a partisan event. This was good for my city. It was good for the economics of my city. It was our time on the world stage, and I was not going to let Democrat versus Republican, independent versus vegetarian get in the way of our success. I just wasn't going to do it, and we haven't done it.
Good for you. It's a great event.
Thanks, Kate.
Without a hitch.
Now you need to come back to Davis Islands. That's where I live.
I know. I'm on Davis Island. I'm there right now. Thanks, Mayor Bob. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kate. We'll see you.
Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Of course, we're broadcasting from Radio Row in lovely Tampa, Florida.
Humid Tampa, Florida.
Humid, hot. That's right. You can hear a voice in the background. Kate Delaney, of course, America Tonight. Gary Bumgarner is with me, and he is the man, one of the men of Pal Talk, I'm going to call him. You have an official title there, don't you?
Yeah, News and Programming Director.
Yeah, for everybody listening, and they know it because I always tell them this, you can go onto the website, and you can see me. You can see while I'm doing the show, you can see me, which is a very cool thing.
Very
you
cool.
know, video and radio need to really be married to each other anyway, or just a thing.
Someday they will do that and they'll call it television.
I think we already have that.
Really? I didn't know that.
All right. The great thing about Gary, too, is that he has so much experience in politics and covering elections. How many conventions have you been to?
Oh, going back to the Detroit convention. How many years? That's when, I don't even know what year that was.
Detroit.
It was before I was born, 1980-something. Yeah. And I wasn't even born then. So
you're right. It's in the 80s.
Yeah.
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 Well, who was that? Who was... what?
The Republican convention. It was George W. Bush. He was running for the nomination, and who got nominated? Let me Google that for a moment.
I remember the convention. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you first covered that convention? Remember what it was like? Did you have any idea?
I had no idea, but I loved it. It was just fabulous. And you know, I'll tell you, it's really interesting because there's so many young people here, and it gives me great hope for the future. Young people here who are here as interns or as young reporters covering this convention, all excited about everything that's going on, and you know, you kind of worry about the future when we hand the mantle off in another 20, 30, 40 years. When
right.
We're too old
what
to do this.
Like.
What's going to be like? Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's good. That's good that there's still enthusiasm, and especially because it's a lot of this is going to be about new media.
Yes.
Everything's blogging. It's not just, you know, people when they say new media and they say Twitter or this, that, it's beyond that.
Yeah.
It's bigger than that.
Yeah.
What do you think it's going to look like in the future?
I think that the problem right now with the new media is that people don't know. Are learning, still learning. There's a learning curve.
Right.
What you read on the internet, what is a credible source, and what is not a credible source, and it's going to take a while before people realize you know, where the, where their comfort zone is because I can present
anyone
something.
Anyone can blog.
Anyone can blog, and I can present it as if it was a news site,
yeah.
But it might be, you know, an advocacy site. So you have to be a little cautious. Buyer beware a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah.
You have to find what you're comfortable with. You said it the best.
Right.
I mean, figure out what works for you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The this convention, how would you rate it? I mean, if
inside or outside?
I'd say inside.
Inside, it's very well choreographed, as we expected that it would be. This is the Republican convention, so when they say that a person is going to start at a certain time and end at a certain time, they do. We will not see that probably next week at the Democratic convention. They don't know how to keep time there, but here they know how to keep time. I thought that the speeches that people were most interested in were the ones that I was most interested in. Chris Christie, my governor,
right,
did not disappoint. He was Chris Christie. There were those who felt that he was a little self-serving. It was like 20 minutes into the speech before he first mentioned Mitt Romney. But that's Chris Christie.
That is Chris Christie.
He makes no excuses for being who he is, and you either like him or you don't like him. And like he said, and I think this is really epitomizes his philosophy, he said, my mother taught me that if I want love, I should demand respect, and love will follow. If you have love without respect, it's not real love. It won't be lasting. And, of course, she was talking about women, he said, but it's true about politics and government as well. That's who he is. He doesn't care whether I love him as his constituent, as a New Jersey voter. He cares if I respect him.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was pretty powerful.
Yeah.
He picked out the best line of everything that Christie said. You think we'll see Christie go further than the governor of New Jersey?
He'd like to go further. He certainly made it sound like he'd like to go further, and I think that if Mitt Romney is not elected, all eyes will be on Chris Christie in 4 years.
I do, too. I think so. Do you, in the electability category, do you think, I've talked to a lot of Democratic strategists, of course, Republican strategists.
Right.
And the Democratic strategists that I know that are pretty up on the food chain are concerned. They're concerned.
They should be concerned. I tell my listeners, there was a time when people were saying, there's no way Obama's going to get reelected. It's going to be anybody but Obama. And I said to them, you have no idea what you're talking about. You do not know whether Obama is going to win or lose this next election. And then during the primary process, when they were shooting each other figuratively, you got to be careful these days when you use that term, the Republicans, I had callers, and you probably did as well,
yeah,
saying they're killing each other off. They're going to be too wounded.
Right.
The Democrats
yeah
are going to win. You just
yeah
handed the election to Obama. And
yeah
I would say to my callers then, you have no idea what you're talking about. And in fact, we all know that the polling indicates, and it doesn't matter whether it's a quote-unquote Democratic pollster or a quote-unquote conservative pollster, this is a neck-and-neck election. And unless somebody does something absolutely stupid or something major happens between here and November to really slide it in one direction or another, I predict that this is going to be a very, very close and long night in November.
I think so, too. I think I'm glad that my show is where it is because...
Oh, no, you're going to be live in the middle of the action.
I'm going to have the results.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to be able to call it early. This is going to be a barn burner, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to ask you for both sides. Just put a different cap on. So for Mitt Romney, because we're here at the Republican convention, what does he need to do to win?
He needs to teach convince the American people that he's not this stiff cardboard poster, that he really cares about people. I think the remaking of Mitt Romney began with Ann Romney's speech, where she tried to present him in a completely different light. That, look, this guy is a compassionate person. He does things for a charitable acts
lot,
for people
yeah
a lot, but he doesn't brag about
no
it. You know, and now I was unaware of that.
I was too.
I'm from Michigan, and I was unaware that he had done those things. So that presents him differently. And I have talked to a lot of people, and I know you have too, Kate, who know Mitt Romney, who say he's not the way he is presented or he presents himself. When you get with the guy, he's a very warm person, but he really, really thinks things through before he reaches a decision, and then when he reaches a decision, that's the decision, and he goes with it, and he mm-hmm takes risks. Paul Ryan is a risk.
Oh, yeah, I think he's a risk.
You know, but it may turn out to be a very good risk.
Right, right. Now, for Obama, he's the incumbent, so already any incumbent, I don't care what label you have, you have a little bit of an advantage.
You have a big advantage when you're the president of the United States.
Yes, exactly.
On the other hand, now we know who Barack Obama is. And so there's baggage there that wasn't there 4 years ago. I'm going to tell the, and I'm, just for the record, I am not a pro-Romney and I'm not pro-Obama. I'm actually, you and I had this discussion off mic. I am not just a nonpartisan. I happen to be anti-partisan.
Right.
I think that the partisan political situation where people change their positions based on the whim of their party, come on, you're there to represent me. If you're in Congress, and this is why you all have 10% approval rating,
right,
you're supposed to represent your constituency. You're not supposed to be representing your party. But that being said, would you drop the birther issue? Would you drop the religion issue? That did not fly 4 years ago. Let's talk. There's enough to talk about Obama's record, both pro and con. Forget that nonsense.
Yeah,
it detracts from the realities of this race.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. The what do you think happens with the youth vote this time around?
They're not energized. I say this very anecdotally based on my children and their peers. I have two university-age children. 4 years ago, they were enthusiastic. Now, they don't know who to vote for. They don't know if they're going to vote.
Wow.
A lot of them aren't going to vote. Their vote will be a non-vote because they feel like it didn't happen. The hope and change that they had anticipated didn't happen, and they don't like either of these guys. So there's a lot of them are sitting it up.
Wow, independents.
They're very independent, by the way.
Yes. I like that. I can see that. But independents, too, as well, besides your kids, other independents. I think it's up and down. It could go either way.
Right.
You're traditionally Democratic, but I don't think that's going to happen this time.
No, I'm not so sure how the independents vote is going to go, and especially the young people. That was a superb question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we may see a little bit of a split there, but I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see,
because people talk, and then sometimes they do something different when
exactly.
they vote.
Exactly.
And
right.
we know that. I've heard people say one thing, and then you know ultimately, well, this can't. You look at the results, and it doesn't make any sense from what you, even from the polls, sometimes are wrong.
If I had to walk into the voting booth right now, I have no idea who I would vote for, and that's the honest truth. You know, I have a feeling, I'm hoping that's not true, that come November, I will make that decision the day I pull the lever or punch the chat or whatever it is I do.
I have a feeling that many times when you've gone to vote, you knew exactly who you were going to vote for.
But I didn't know maybe until I did it. It's sort of like, when you pop the question, all of a sudden it comes out sometime. You know?
Right, you're not really sure.
You're not really sure, and all of a sudden, boom, you propose to.
It makes it exciting, though, that it's gotten more exciting to cover this.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Nobody is absolutely certain that they can win, but everybody knows there's a good chance that they can. And I think that makes this a great election. It's like a football game.
Gary B., it was fun kicking it around with you.
It's nice to meet you in person. We're actually, folks, you can't see it, we're shaking hands.
Yep.
Instead of touching hands on camera on the internet. That's very cool.
Yep. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the door sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Florida, the RNC, and sitting with us is Ann Stone, Republicans for Choice. Wow. Let me say that again. Republicans for Choice. And so I don't want to confuse anybody about what we're talking about. I was flabbergasted. It was the first time in my life I didn't know what to say, actually, when someone came up to me. So, of course, that's going to be the reaction of some people listening, like, oh, there's a group, Republicans for Choice. Now, you know this. And Ann, by the way, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Laura Bush, mm-hmm. when her husband was running, mm-hmm. when George was running, said that she was for choice.
Mm-hmm.
And people said, okay, right on, that's fine, mm-hmm. that's great. And, you know, they mm-hmm. kind of left it alone. But I thought, wow, that's pretty powerful, because she has her own opinion and completely differed from mm-hmm. the president. So have you found that there are a lot of Republican women who feel the same way?
Absolutely. In fact, Barbara Bush was pro-choice. Nancy Reagan was pro-choice. Pat Nixon was pro-choice. In fact, the first check I ever got for Republicans for Choice when we first founded was from President Nixon, believe it or not.
Really?
And, of course, Betty Ford was pro-choice, very pro-choice.
So you've been around, this organization's been around for a long time.
Since 1990. We were formed in reaction to the Webster decision, which was the first Supreme Court decision to limit Roe.
Right.
Where the right was almost taken away by one vote. That's when it became a voting issue, really, for Republicans. Before then, you had people that disagreed with the party's position, but they didn't make a big deal out of it because they believed nothing was ever really going to happen to reverse it. With the Webster decision, people were like, oh, my God, they might actually do this. And that's when it became a big deal. And even today, contrary to what my pro-life allies and colleagues, and they are allies and colleagues on other issues,
right.
Say the majority of the party actually still believes the woman should have the right to make the decision. We have a new survey that we did that we threw in with another omnibus survey, so it wasn't one that was carved out for us, asking that very question. 71% of Republicans said the woman should make the decision. But the shocking fact, in the poll, whether you're Republican or Democrat, if you self-label as pro-life, 70% thought the woman should have the right to make the decision. Which means they're a little confused. They don't understand
what
that makes them pro-choice. Personally, pro-life, but legislatively pro-choice, which is fine with us.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. Were you shocked by the? I mean, that's shocking.
I was shocked that it was that high. The self-labeling on the Republican Party still gives a slight edge to pro-choice, not like it used to in the old days. It was much more heavily self-labeled pro-choice. But the labels mean virtually nothing anymore. And pollsters need to go back and revise how they're asking the questions to get at the real crux of it. Because CNN, for example, this week came out with a poll saying the majority of Americans want to see abortion limited. And they thought that was news. It's not news. It's been that way forever. There's a paradox. People want to see abortion limited and discouraged, but they want the woman still to make the decision.
You know, on my plane ride down to Tampa, there I was on a very Republican plane, and there were some delegates. Karl Rove happened to be on the same plane. And the interesting thing is, somehow, and it was because of Todd Akin, the congressman, and his comments that he made, that the conversation started to come up. And the conversation, I thought, was interesting because several of the women said, who were longtime delegates who were really committed to the Republican Party, said that, why is this even in politics?
Thank you. Do you know what our submission was when the platform people asked us to submit language we'd like to see? I sent them a blank sheet. Beginning of the blank sheet had quote marks. At the end of the blank sheet had quote marks. In other words, silent, because it should not be in politics. It should be between a woman and her creator. And again, our group, probably more than any of the other pro-choice groups, you know, we don't throw people out of our group if they are for certain exceptions. There are some, and some of the stuff that's in the platform we actually agree with. And I thought it was interesting that they claimed that this current platform that was just passed is the most pro-life ever. Baloney. It is less inflammatory. It's shorter to the point. It actually is vague and has a lot of weasel wording in there that allows them to be able to look at things a couple different ways. And there were actually several pieces of the platform that we didn't necessarily disagree with, which some people would find quite shocking.
Really? Like, give us
Well, the born alive. The born alive. If the fetus survives an abortion and is born alive, we would definitely back in doing everything possible to keep the fetus alive. I mean, that's ridiculous. If they're born, they're born, period.
Right, right.
Gender selection abortion. Virtually nobody in our group believes in that.
Yeah.
But see, we believe a government that can tell you you can't have an abortion can also direct you what kinds of abortions you can have. And that's the problem. That's exactly why what you just said, it should not be in politics.
It's too late. The barn door is open.
Yeah, it is, and it's going to take decades to undo that.
That's what I think, too. Yeah. It's interesting when you go to other countries, as much as I can say about, oh, I don't like this, this, and this. Definitely. I love America. I am thrilled to be an American. But it's interesting the conversations they think are so crazy that we're having, that this is part of the conversation. Why are we wasting too much time?
Oh, I've got a great antidote for you that you will just love. I was asked, I do a lot of travel on women's issues and all sorts of political topics, and I'm in Italy. I'm asked to go to Italy by female members of parliament. They want me to come to help them learn how to get more of them elected. Alessandra Mussolini, the great-granddaughter of Benito, was in parliament. And out of all the suggestions I gave them, the thing she loved most was getting women on TV to talk about this. I said they should have a show like To the Contrary, like we have on PBS here in the United States, not like The View, which is too vapid, but something, you know, more substantial issue discussion of people with different points of view. I'll tell you the punchline to that part of the story in a minute. But in the meanwhile, she's looking at my resume and she goes, you're a Republican for choice. She looks at me, she goes, you know, we here in Italy, we say to the Vatican, fine, you do what you want with the women and talk about it that way, fine. In Italy, we know how to treat our women. We trust them to make up their own mind. We trust them with the decision. When are you people going to learn?
Exactly.
So I thought that was pretty funny. But
wow, and the and I agree with you, by the way, also on the conversation. And I do think the view is valid, but how that conversation. You know, how that came into politics. But and speaking as somebody who speaks on women's issues, I mean, it's even there are even bigger women's. Well, that's a big women's issue. But there are other issues that are also very, very big to women. Do you think it's we've come a long way, baby, anymore, or we're rolling backwards somehow?
Well, there's a real conflict in the country because there are a lot of people that feel the more we go forward, the more we're going to lose our femininity and the more that, you know, men aren't going to like us. And that's why feminism got to have a very bad name. Although I would tell the Republican women that are here that the original feminists in the United States were all Republican. They were called suffragists.
Right.
But the social feminists are the ones that most people look at as man-haters, but mainline feminists are not. And have we rolled back? Probably in some ways some of the attitudes are rolling back as a result of reaction, but in most ways women have made tremendous advances. And I get mad at my feminist friends for not celebrating the advances more and then building on that instead of always talking about what we haven't done.
Yeah, I agree with you there, too. Do you think, well, that's that glass is half full, glass
right,
is half empty.
Exactly.
That comes, that's how you're raised.
But, you know, that's all also the difference between a Republican and Democrat. The Republican will always see the glass as half full. The Democrats always see it as half empty.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you look at that, if you look at the positives, it has to be what's happening career-wise.
Oh, absolutely.
Academically, for sure. That's huge.
But let me tell you, a big thing that keeps women back, and I do a lot of training. I've trained in 63 countries. I've actually done training in 40 out of 50 United States.
Wow.
And I find it doesn't matter where women are on the socioeconomic scale, whether they're on, you know, on public assistance or they're corporate executives, you still have a confidence deficit with most women. And a lot of times women do keep themselves back because they don't think they have a right to speak up or a right to go for this or a right to go for that. The good news is some of the new generations of women are coming with a little bit more chutzpah. They're seeing more positive role models out there and they're stepping forward. But a lot of times we've kept ourselves back unknowingly and not knowing some of the simple rules of the game in the marketplace, the things that men learn at their father's knees that women don't. And once they learn them, we're quick learners. Once we learn them, we can compete very effectively.
You mean like asking for a raise?
Absolutely. Making money a measure of success.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've had companies, I've started many companies, including a national bank, and I've had companies where I've had mostly male executives and only a couple female, and the other way around, mostly female and only male. And I've seen the stereotypes be real and in action. Where I had mostly male executives and a couple of females, and I asked for suggestions. The men rush with on paper suggestions and this and that. And the women, you have to drag it out of them. And when you finally get it out of them, their suggestions are better, but they don't even have the confidence to bring them forward. You want to strangle them. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Wow. Yeah. This has just been a terrific conversation. And here at the convention, are you meeting, spreading the word, talking to people?
We are. And for those who think the platform, you know, that we lost on the platform, we didn't try as hard as we have in other years because, frankly, defeating Obama is clearly more important to everybody than anything. But also, the language in the current platform, it's only not even a half page as opposed to two pages in the past. It's less inflammatory. It's more vague. There's a lot of weasel wording in there. There's actually sections of the abortion plank that we agree with. We have language we put in right at the very top of the section that actually nullifies some of the stuff that's said in the abortion platform that actually made it through, which we were surprised, saying people have a right to their individual beliefs. We've never been able to get that in before. And this time
it
survived.
Yeah.
But the press hasn't picked up on it that much yet because they want to write the story. Oh, the Republicans have taken a far right over the cliff turn.
Well, we'll get the word out. That's
okay,
good.
Thanks.
And thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
From Tampa, here at the site of the Republican National Convention. Joining us now, Marita Noon from townhall.com. She's all about the energy. Boy, this is something I want to touch on. We've talked a lot of economics. We've talked with economic professors. We've talked with all kinds of people about the numbers. But we haven't talked about energy. And Marita, you said that to me when you sat down. Oh, everybody wants to know about energy. Energy's a thing. And you're the headline for your column is, Yes, Romney Can, No, Obama Can't. You know the Obama people, if they read that headline, they'd be like, oh, come on, what about green, the green initiative and the money that we need to direct for that, and that's the reason why we're stymied. What did you find out?
Well, this is a particular kind of a review of Romney's energy plan that was released in Hobbs, New Mexico,
right,
last week, and that's relevant because I live in New Mexico, so that's a relevant that he was there in my state talking about his energy plan. And where the title of this comes from is really that Romney's energy plan says to the global investment community, Yes, you can. Come on in. We want you. We want your investment dollars in America. And one of the things that I uniquely address in this column is that the global investment communities, particularly when we're talking oil, gas, and extractive industries, are investing their money. They're taking chances in risky places that don't honor the rule of law like we do in America. For example, the five locations I cite in the column are Russia, Argentina, Nigeria, South Africa, and Argentina. And companies are losing money there. They're losing investment there because the countries are rogue countries.
Right.
And that's where they can do business because they can't do business in America. And Romney's energy plan says you can do it here. Where Obama's energy plan says to that entire billions and billions of dollars of global investment money that is out there, the Obama plan says to them, no, you can't.
So why? I mean, what a giant disconnect. We're talking about jobs. We're talking about money. We're talking about creating
wealth. Exactly. That's one of the things.
Yes.
I get so frustrated that when Washington, D.C., when you hear about this national debt discussion, they seem to think there's only two answers. They seem to think there's only raising taxes or cutting spending. And I kind of like shout out there from the sidelines.
Revenue.
Yoo-hoo. What about creating new wealth? And that's what the extractive industries do. The extractive industries, and I say it that way because my column includes a segment on platinum mining in South Africa, where they're threatening to nationalize the mine. And it's owned by a British company, but they're threatening to nationalize it. Well, wouldn't those companies rather do business in America? I believe that they would, and bring all those jobs and that investment here.
And you say this in your piece. You say Romney's plan is open up for U.S. resources off the East Coast and in Alaska. Why are we constantly roadblocked with this when we know there's been a gazillion environmental studies showing that... Even the energy secretary, whoops, said, oh, the Keystone Pipeline, for example, fine, and then took it back when he realized he spoke out of turn when he was told to shut it down.
Well, the bottom line is that when you look at Obama's energy plan, which, by the way, I say Obama's energy plan is to have America use less but pay more, which is the antithesis of what made America great. When you look at, for example, companies like Costco and Walmart and what made them great, is a model of use more but pay less. Well, when it comes to energy, Obama wants us to use less but pay more. So Obama's energy policy is driven by the environmentalist agenda. I wrote a column back in January when President Obama said no to the Keystone Pipeline. And if you were to go to townhall.com and read that column, you would see that in it I have links to the environmental groups' blogs and publications where they are flat out threatening President Obama that if he approved the Keystone Pipeline, they say, we will not walk for you. We will not knock doors for you. We will not raise money for you in 2012 like we did in 2008 if you approve the Keystone Pipeline. And that's who's got the power in the Obama administration.
Yeah, the protest started up, and then, of course, it was ultimately snowballed to, after the election, conveniently.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
Because
why would that be after the election?
Right, because it'd be easy in the second term for him to say, sure, go ahead, then, too.
Yeah, see, I think in the second term he's going to say no.
I do, too.
Because then he doesn't have to worry about the unions. Yeah. He'll be mad at him.
Yeah, who
cares?
He
doesn't have to appease the American public, but he really is ideologically aligned with the environmentalists. And that's why he's thrown so much money after the green energy, not to mention that it lines the pockets of his friends. I've written an 8-part series on townhall.com that is in the last 2 months. There's one series, 8 parts, that is exclusively on Obama's green energy crony corruption, where we've connected the dots.
With the grants and whatnot.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's kind of an overwhelming series. And I had one guy, I'm kind of done with the series. series for now unless I can raise some more money for it. But one reader emailed me and he said, you know, I couldn't always follow all the money and the names because there's so much of it. He said, but the overwhelming message was loud and clear.
Yeah, and that you know, the shining example of that is one that a lot of people in this listening audience would know, of course, Solyndra.
Sure.
And the fact that the solar panels were being produced for nothing in China and the information was readily available, how could they not have known that?
But Solyndra is only the tip of the iceberg, yeah. You know, and when you study this stuff every day like I do, you discover that, you know what, it's not really about the energy. It's really about control. In fact, my book, the name of my book is Energy Freedom. And if you look closely at the title, you see behind the word energy in gray, it kind of says take away. And behind the word freedom in gray, it says take away. So the meta message there is when you take away energy, you take away freedom.
What about, and speaking of taking away freedom, we see that natural gas is so huge, but that's kind of being stymied too because
oh, yeah.
It can mega concerns. People are
the
making
money. The environmentalists, the Sierra Club has launched a whole new campaign now against natural gas. And so the reality is they're against anything that works. Anything that will produce economic development in this country, they oppose.
So is it more just a smokescreen when Obama's out campaigning and he will say, yes, we still need with oil and, you know, and he kind of jumps from one foot to the other there. I've seen it.
Yeah.
And then we'll go on to the green energy stuff. But he does now kind of mention others.
Well, he's been hit so hard on it. But you know what, Katie, it's a great question because when you look at it, I believe if President Obama cares far more about electoral posturing than he does about energy production. Because when you look at the Keystone Pipeline, for example, if you Google red state, blue state map, and you Google Keystone Pipeline map,
right.
The Keystone Pipeline goes 100% through red states. So this means even if the Keystone Pipeline was to create the 20,000 jobs that the industry says it will create, or the only 6,000 jobs the opponents say it will create, Obama's not going to get one electoral vote as a result of that. However, think again, red state, blue state map. What are the two states in this country that have newfound riches where poor farmers have been turned into overnight millionaires as a result of natural gas?
Yeah, well, Dakota, too.
No, see, that's oil.
Texas.
Natural gas. New states. Natural gas. Okay, I'll tell you. It's Ohio and Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania.
And what color are those states? Red state,
yeah.
Blue state. What color
yeah.
are those states?
Yeah.
See, President Obama
yeah,
cannot
worried.
Win the
yeah.
White House without at least one
yeah.
of those two states.
Yeah.
And so he cannot alienate
yeah.
the newfound wealth that is coming from the ground in those two states.
Yeah. I have grandparents in Texas that in their area, it changed the whole community around. It was
yeah.
Cleburne, Texas, and it really just really turned all the economic failures of that community into something completely different.
Well, I've got a friend who's walking the floor here, and if you're interested, I'll bring her by. But she's done a movie. She lives in upstate New York, where they are not allowed to use horizontal hydraulic fracturing to access the riches under the ground. But right across the state line in Pennsylvania, they are. And her movie is called The Empire State Divide. And she's interviews people in that movie that live in New York, and in order to get work, are driving across the state line to Pennsylvania. And the horrible thing in New York is they know there is gas underneath their ground, so they have reassessed their property based on the gas that is underneath, but they won't allow them to access it.
Oh, how can that be?
Isn't that awful?
You have a resource.
It's like a taking.
It's like
a
money.
Taking.
It's like a money under your house.
It is, and they will not let them. But yet they're charging them, you know, the higher tax rate
right.
because of it. It's
right.
just amazing.
Wow. What a delight. You really opened my eyes to a couple of different things. First of all, I didn't realize that about Ohio and Pennsylvania, that they were the two. But
it's interesting.
It is. It
you know,
is.
When you look at this stuff, I mean, I'm fascinated by it. I study this every day. I write a
wow.
weekly column for
We
Town
have to have
Hall.
You back on again when
Love
you come
it.
Back on in. Marita, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so
Kate.
Much.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Clear out your pantry and make room in your closets. You're going to need the space for these hot August deals at BePrepared.com. Through tomorrow only, save 23% on Provident Pantry Scrambled Egg Mix or 28% on freeze-dried strawberry slices. New this month, baking cocoa for daily use or long-term storage. Buy one of the Provident Pantry baking or dessert combos and save up to $25 off individual component pricing. Or add some weight to your water storage at BePrepared.com. The ultimate 55-gallon water barrel combo is on sale this month for only $94.99. Food and water storage is great, but how are you going to cook it in an emergency? The popular Volcano 2 collapsible stove. Save $27.96 off MSRP. Go to BePrepared.com for more details and more August savings through tomorrow only. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and BePrepared.com's low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.